On? There we go.
Good morning.
Yep.
Okay, well, welcome to this is Wednesday, January 7, Clark County Solid Waste and Moderate Risk Waste Management Plan. That's what I'm reading off the top of this thing. So I guess this is your meeting, Don.
Well, it's your meeting, Mr. Chairman, but we're happy to be here to present to you and your fellow commissioners the update on the Solid Waste Management Plan. We are asked by the Department of Ecology to update this plan as needed. We like to do it every 5 years if we can, although that's not the firm requirement. And so our department has been working on this, and I think started working on it even before Commissioner Stewart left the SWAC board, updating, revising, clarifying our solid waste regional plan. And, of course, the county takes the lead on that. And my division manager, Pete Dubois, has been heading that up. And he will lead us through the presentation here this morning. I'll be here to back up and answer any questions that you may have. If others can't, we've got a number of our staff members here. This is designed to last about a half an hour, just a brief, real overview to give you an idea of what we've been doing, because the plan will come before the board for approval after we get the draft back from Department of Ecology with any of their changes or corrections, then we'll ask you for final approval on the plan. This is the work that we've done on the plan so far, and so I'm going to turn it over to Pete, who's been heading that up, to kind of walk you through the presentation. No, just the paper. Well, we've finalized the plan itself. We're in the process of finalizing the interlocal agreements with the cities. Department of Ecology originally required us to have all the ILAs done and the plan and everything together. Now they've said, well, you can send up the ones you have, and that won't hold up the approval of the plan, because we still have 2 years left on the existing ILAs, which gives us flexibility to adopt some of those later. But most of the cities are on board and will be submitting the new ILAs with the plan when we send it up.
Great. I also want to make sure that just in case some of the staff or guests haven't met our newest member of the council here, Jeannie Stewart. Jeannie, you want to say hello? Great. Okay.
Okay. Can I ask a question?
Right off. You bet.
Is this being...
working?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's working. Bring it closer.
I'm interested in which cities that we have approved interlocal agreements with. So
well, we have interlocal agreements now with all the cities and the township of Yakult, and so we're in the process of renewing those. We're already on the agenda for renewal at both Yakult and La Center. Steve Stewart told me at the breakfast two weeks ago, he said, you know, Ridgeville has no problem. They just haven't got it scheduled yet. And so I'm sure that's coming along. Battleground is close to having it scheduled. Vancouver and Camas have not committed yet to sign a new interlocal agreement, but I don't have any reason to think that they wouldn't, because they had some comments and some concerns about the plan, and I think we've addressed those. So I believe we're in pretty good shape there, but I don't know. I haven't had a response yet back as to whether we'll have council approval in time to submit with our package in around the 1st of March, or the middle of March, that we want to send this up to Ecology. End of February, beginning of March. Is that our timeline?
That's when it would come back. We're actually hoping to send that up.
Send it up sooner. So that it would get back in time for the board to take action in late March or early April.
Harry, for every city to sign an interlocal for our plan to be approved?
It's preferable, but it's not necessary. We still have 2 years remaining on the current plans. So we would need, obviously, new interlocal agreements before those expire in 2016. Our preference is to have a nice, neat package with a bow on it, with every city's ILA in there, you know, advanced to 2021, so we can go ahead and put our plan. We like to run the ILAs concurrent with the plan so that, you know, we've got other things to do. We don't want to draw this process out. So we'd like to put it all together. If we don't, it won't affect our approval. The Department of Ecology has said that they will approve the plan without new ILAs, but they would prefer not also, obviously. But it can be done.
Partnership.
Oh, absolutely.
With all of the local municipalities. So Vancouver actually has people who attend every Solid Waste Commission meeting.
Yes.
And have the ability to make comment.
Yes.
Back information to their managers.
Yes.
So they're in touch all the time with
yes.
actions of the Solid Waste.
Well, not only that, Commissioner, but we work very closely with our partners, especially with the City of Vancouver.
Yeah, because they are our biggest partner.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Pete is in constant contact, I'm sure, with Rich and others over there. They're working very closely together on a regular basis because they're obviously our biggest partner, and we want to make sure that things are smooth, that
yes.
our trash service, nothing upsets citizens more than not having their trash service picked up on a regular basis. And having their recycling handled in a smooth way. So we focus on that. We want to make sure that that's done effectively because they'll hear about it and we'll hear about it. And we want to make sure that we're servicing our customers. So, no, they're a very strong partner of ours. We're very happy with the relationship. And we think and hope they are too. So we're moving in the right direction.
Oh, and just tag on to that if I could. And the question is, where Vancouver has someone that attends all the meetings, do we and the other cities in the interlocal agreement, do they also attend those meetings?
They don't all attend. They attend from time to time. The city's always there. Our other partners sometimes will come, sometimes not.
But we have staff there?
We do. Absolutely. Yeah, we staff the commission and take the notes and keep the minutes and so on. That's our responsibility. Yeah.
Have a contract for the. We have a handler, so our contract. So the city contracts with Waste Connections, and the county contract is also Waste Connections.
Correct.
Tell me how they've been able to participate in helping us develop the plan. Is there like we're not developing it for them?
The vendor, you mean? How has the vendor been involved in helping? We work with them. Pete can speak directly to that, but we certainly have bounced things off of them. We don't do the plan for them. It's our plan.
Understood. Yeah.
And we've got a vendor that can't comply with our plan. We'll find another vendor. But Waste Connections has been a very good partner. They've done a good job of complying with the plan.
Well, and because we've worked with them for a number of years, they can help us develop new programs.
Absolutely.
Partnership for, and I know that Household Municipal Wastes, they have participated in.
For example, our Green Schools program. Waste Connections is a very, very important and strong partner in our Green Schools program. They have educators, and our contract requires that they provide some education staff as part of the agreement. And so they work very closely, and they're an integral part, a key part of our Green Schools program. And so that's just one example of where the vendor is really working, you know, hand in hand with county and city staff to achieve these goals and to complete these programs.
Development support in helping us develop what we see are additional factors in the solid waste stream that we need to.
In fact, the new chapter in here, and we'll get to that, is on the economic development. And Waste Connections has been very much at the table helping us with ideas on how to really be masters of our own destiny here in Clark County in terms of the yard waste, because we, you know, had some hiccups in being able to dispose of our yard waste because we have to go across the river to do that. And so Waste Connections has been a key partner in looking, siting, trying to find locations, maybe doing some kind of our own yard, you know, composting operation here in Clark County. And so they were consulted heavily on the economic development chapter as well. And we've even made a couple of field trips with them to look at a couple of sites and so on. So they're very much involved. Yeah. Pete, why don't you go ahead and start in, and then we'll handle questions as we go along or at the end.
Okay, well, let's just go through some of these slides. And on slide number 2, we talk about the purpose. Obviously, some of these things we've touched on. It's protect our public health, environmental quality. That's why we have our solid waste management plan. It's administered by the Environmental Services Department and our Solid Waste Environmental Education Division. And these are, on slide 3, requirements from state RCW. 7095 requires our solid waste management plan. There's 70.105, which requires moderate risk waste, which is our household hazardous waste, and that toxic side. And then by state law, we are required to review every 5 years and revise as necessary these plans. Our current plan is from 2008, and this new one we are hoping to get adopted, as Don mentioned, in March or April of 2015. And if we look at slide number 4, we've talked a little bit about this. It is a regional plan. It's a joint city-county plan with our 6 cities and township. We do have interlocal agreements, and we will be bringing the actual plan for formal resolution back to the commissioners and council members, and then the cities as well. On slide number 5, really where we are today is to let you know that we have gone through an extensive update and review process. We have managed the risk, so in terms of staff coming to you, there are no surprises. It's a broad brushstroke plan that allows us latitude to apply for grant dollars through the state. It also gives us opportunities to enact policies, but again, all of those policies would come back through you through another process. So it is a broad plan, and our goal today is to get approval to submit this plan to Ecology for their 120-day review. Every city has participated in the review. We did get extensive comments back from the city. Thank you, Rich. And we've addressed those. City Vancouver has a member on the SWAC committee that represents their city. There's also a member that represents the small cities. The SWAC members have gone through with a fine-tooth comb every single chapter, and I know Jeannie knows that process very well. We have submitted the plan in a preliminary form to Ecology. They came back with very minor comments, a couple legal pieces we had to update. And then we have reviewed the final plan as we know of it now with SWAC, and they have recommended that it's ready to go. We've conducted a formal comment period to the public. We did receive some comments back from City Camas, some additional comments from Vancouver. Thank you, Rich. And we incorporated and addressed those. And then we did a determination of not significance.
We received very few. Did we get one or two from the member of the general public?
We got a couple from SWAC. Generally, what we find with these large plans is there's not a lot of public comment, and that's been our experience from the past as well. So we have done our homework. I want to be here to assure you that the work has been done, and really there are no surprises. But there are some changes that we have enacted, and we want to certainly give you those, the opportunity to weigh in. Once we do submit it to Ecology, it's for that their final comment period only. So again, just to recap on slide six, the tools that this plan allows us, we plan for a solid waste infrastructure. We have three transfer stations. We barge our material up the Columbia Gorge to Finley Buttes. We also truck some of that waste from Washougal to the Wasco landfill in the Dalles. We have an excellent operating system. We are very fortunate in this community. We have a lot of growth in that system to manage our growing population, our growing tonnages. All of that has been researched and put into place and again reviewed by Ecology, reviewed by the Washington Utility Transportation Commission. It does allow us to go out to the Washington Department of Ecology to get grants, so these components need to be in the plan, they need to be approved. It is a tool for the public. If the public wanted to read it, there's a lot of good information in there. And also, we have fine-tuned our, there's 19 chapters total in the plan, and chapter 19 is an implementation chapter. We have timelines of when we're going to complete our work by. We have also, with some of the city's good comments, pointed out where it's a new comment, a new recommendation, or an existing one. A lot of these are continuing recommendations that come through the plan over the years. And then we have a 20-year forecast just to make sure there's going to be no surprises, primarily for the ratepayer. And we don't foresee any of that happening. And again, if we did get into that situation, all of that information would be brought back to the Board of Councils.
How much do we rely on the grant dollars?
The grant currently is a two-year grant, and it's $1.28 million. So it's probably a good 30% of our operating budget.
It's pretty important we get this done, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
So, just to follow up on that,
yes.
Is it pretty safe to assume that those grant dollars will continue without gaps in between?
As safe as the funding from the legislature is, I guess.
This is something that's ongoing, mandated, and so I would think that we will always receive something. We won't go completely.
I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being ironclad guaranteed for life, is it probably a 7. I mean, it's pretty safe funding. This is a typical way that Department of Ecology funds solid waste management in throughout the state. So we're not the only ones that rely on this. But, we heavily rely on it for our recycling programs and some of our other, environmentally conscious and safe programs that we're moving forward and growing. Hazardous waste, for example, that's pretty much all funded. Our big events, we had record tonnage this year, record events. And that's all pretty much funded by the grant. We cover 25% of it because that's the requirement under the grant. But most all of that's covered by the grant money. So, and they know that. And so it's fairly safe as long as we, mind our P's and Q's and do it. Now we have a lady that monitors every expenditure under that grant. Once we get the grant, we work for our finance guy, Pete, works very closely with the lady at DOE, and they have to approve each one of these. And a big part of our billing process is to make sure that we've got all of our ducks in line, because they're tough. They don't just give you, approval. They look through, they're very, very diligent in their grant review before they make their quarterly payments to us. We receive the money on a quarterly basis. So
I assume that that Waste Connections, the service provider, does not qualify and doesn't receive any grants at all. Is that true? And that none of the other jurisdictions receive grants for this. Clark County is the grant receiver and the one to be able to steward those grants.
For the regional.
Yeah, for the
money.
Region.
Yeah. But I do believe the city of Vancouver received grants, and I do think other cities are eligible for grants as well. I don't think they're eligible for regional money. I think you get city money. Is that right, Rich? You Yeah.
Okay, so as I mentioned, 19 total chapters. I pulled out about 8 here that had some overview that we wanted to bring forward. Chapter 1 and 2 is mostly administration and introduction. Chapter 3 is where we start to get into some of the meat. And this one was a little more broad. We really focused it back to materials management, how we look at solid waste. And some of those aspects that you might be familiar with are the e-waste bill, looking at how we product steward our products. So now with the state legislature has passed that, a new one that just went into effect is the mercury light bulbs. They've had discussions in other states about paint, so that's what this chapter focuses on.
Can you let us always know what page you're looking at?
Yes, excuse me. This is slide 7.
Our slides aren't numbered, so we need...
Chapter.
Very faint in the bottom left frame right here.
If you hold it just right in the light.
My apologies on that, yeah.
I'm a fan.
They are tiny, tiny. Yeah.
Tiny, tiny. Okay, on your page 4, slide 7, sustainable choices, we are looking at product stewardship programs, and that's one of the changes there. Chapter 5, the education and outreach, we've really looked at this one at a more programmatic standpoint, focusing in on measurements, program effectiveness, doing SWOT analysis before we actually launch into a new program. We have put a new emphasis on social media, community-based social marketing, and really driving towards behavior measures to see how we're doing with our behavior changes. Yes.
And was there a change that was made recently that switched from having the direct staff providing education to having the provider, Waste Connections, provide that education?
And it is a balance. We oversee some of the actual programmatic project management. And then we do have educators that are through our contracts with Waste Connections that help implement some of that work. Okay, we're going to go to your page 5, and it's slide 8. Let's see, I think you went over one. It should be landfill disposal. Yeah, back on page 4. Slide 8.
Gotcha.
Okay. This really, again, is a continuing recommendation that no new landfills are going to be built here in Clark County. We just want to make that clear. We have a sole source aquifer, very important from our groundwater standpoint. We just recently decommissioned the Roofner landfill. It has not been formally closed, but we're in process of doing that as well. SWAC, Jeannie, very involved in that process.
While we're there, on that decommissioned landfill, there were a lot of issues related to that. There has been a lot of testing. Much of the area surrounding that landfill has had some rather limited uses. However, to look at what land is there and that land can be repurposed, and the work that's been done by the city on behalf of that effort and SWAC and the county has been really important, really productive, really forward thinking. I also really appreciate, you know, that proper decommissioning. I believe there's still some continued testing, but at less frequent intervals. I'm seeing heads nod. and I really support the continuing recommendation that no new landfills be sited in Clark County. So.
I'd like to say something as well. For those that are listening, because we're recording this, that The citizens should know that Councilor Jeannie Stewart, until recently, has sat on the Solid Waste Advisory Commission for years. So certainly you're the most knowledgeable among the three councilors here in that area. So that vote of confidence speaks very well because your credibility comes with it. So that underscores that they're doing a good job.
Last year, Commissioner Stewart was inducted into the Recycling Hall of Fame for her efforts in recycling and her service on that board over the years.
Well, there was such a Hall of Fame. Well, that's great.
Believe it or not,
she knew her stuff.
That's right. That's right.
Washington State Recycling Association, so quite a big honor.
Did that come with a trophy? I'd like to see it.
Continuing on slide 8, chapter 8, our waste transfer material recovery system. We have three transfer stations. One of those, our central transfer recycling station on 117th, has at times had traffic issues, especially weekends. So we are looking at upgrades to that site. We looked at siting a fourth transfer station in the North County area. We have a feasibility study that was completed. We are still going to review that, but no options rose to the top that were feasible at this time. So we are looking at some possible improvements. Those would be happening in the next couple years. Again, those decisions would be brought forward.
Regarding that issue, is it not currently written into the contract with Waste Connections that they will participate in that effort and look, because an additional transfer station, however much we can revamp Central, the number of people that need to use that, it's used as the basic waste hauling, but it gets an enormous bounce on consumer disposal and some commercial disposal that's self-haul. So that's a need that is out there. And so I'm glad to hear that's an ongoing effort.
It's ongoing. And this year, we just completed a tour. There have been some significant upgrades made to CTR. We used to have a real problem with cars backing out onto 503. And we're hoping that we've been able to solve that problem, at least for the most part. There will still be some times, I'm sure, in the summer when that will happen. But there was a new scale put in, and so the commercial trucks now do not have to wait in line and back up the citizens that are there. The commercial trucks come right in. The trucks have been pre-programmed into the scale. They drive right over the scale. They go right in. They don't have to stop on the way out like they used to. And so that has really improved the flow at Central Transfer. It's made a significant difference. But that doesn't mean that we're done. We are still looking, and Waste Connections is looking, at reorganizing the whole deal so that maybe citizens can come through a different location to come in. So that's an ongoing process. The other thing that we realize is that West Van isn't utilized at its full capacity. There are many people that will still take their trash or recyclables out to Central. And I don't know if it's because they're not aware that there's a location maybe closer. And so we need to, try to educate folks a little bit more so that we can get a better balance, because the bulk is out at Central and West Van isn't at capacity. So before we start talking about building another location, we want to make sure that we're evening out the load between the two locations that we're operating.
Part of the factor of that, I say this as a garbage hauling user, West Van is not open on Sunday. It's only open on Saturday. And West Van is pretty busy on a Saturday. There are very few open bays for very long over there. So that is a factor, too, about what the distribution is.
The Washougal Station took some pressure off of Central Transfer as well. So, because those folks used to all come over to Central Transfer, right? And we're negotiating and working on maybe looking at having that open an additional day to the public out there, in 2015. We haven't resolved that yet, but we are looking at that as a possibility. So,
do we have any transfer stations in East County?
Washougal.
Washougal has one.
I'd like to ask, Mark, when we post this on the grid, can we also include a document that says what address, what hours, what's the contact information for each of these transfer stations so that citizens can easily get to them? How do they get to, how do they find that information now?
On our website.
What is that website?
Very active website.
I mean, what's the address? GreenNeighbors.com.
Best portals to come in through. There's a number of different ways to get to it, but GreenNeighbors.com is probably the best or most active way to get into it.
That is one, and RecyclingA-Z.com is another good one. There's a widget and a...
And there's a mobile app for that.
I would, let's go ahead and any of those references that you feel like would be useful to our citizens, and just add that to the list there, Mark.
I just typed in recycling on the homepage in the little search box, and I got 10 different links to take you right to where you need to be.
That's great. I assume also that each time a citizen drives a load to one of these stations, they're charged for what they're going to deliver. Are the rates and the categories clearly listed on these sites as well? Okay. So is there any... What about like yard debris and those kinds of things that could potentially turn into a useful product locally for composting or something like that? Is even that charged? Okay, so... All right, so I look forward to that information. How many recycle places are there? Three or two? Transfer stations?
It depends. If it's trash, there's three transfer stations. If there's recycling, there's a couple of other places, depending on what you're recycling. And that's why if you go to the recycling app, all your options are there. If it's computers or electronics, there's several places you can take them. Block foam, for example, there's one. We have one vendor that's open on the weekends here in Clark County. People can drop off their block foam. So there's a number of different, depending on what it is you're recycling, right? So there's a lot of places you can take it other than just the transfer stations. Oil, you can take. We have an arrangement. Paint, we have an arrangement with several paint stores that will take used paint for us. The same thing with tires as well as electronics. So
whatever it is, whether it's going to be some kind of a trash or recycle of anything, it all falls under the category of solid waste, right? Okay.
And I'm aware we've blown your half-hour program all to pieces, but I have a very important question or statement. And on our GPSs, on our road GPSs anymore, they have something, I think it's called WAVE. And they can tell you how busy the roads are. Is that the correct thing? I wonder if it's possible to do something like that for our transfer stations, so that one isn't overloaded, and someone can dial that up on recycle and see the condition or wait period for each one might even out the traffic flow in the.
That's a terrific idea. Citizens can say, "Oh, I'm going to go over to West Van. They're not busy. Central is backed up, or whatever." I mean, that's something. That's a great suggestion. It's something we can look into. Technology today, I'm sure, will allow those kinds of things. But we can certainly look into that. Absolutely.
When a CTR does get really busy, is there much of a wait? Is it like a few minutes, or could it be much longer?
Wait is short. The issue is that they back up onto 503, so it's a safety traffic issue.
Back up waiting to dump. They might get inside, but they can't.
The line is not very long, so.
Another important point about that is if you take a load of mixed paper, newspaper, cardboard, and cans and plastic jugs, they weigh you going in, you tell them this is all recycled material, you can dump it for free. You'll have to sort it a little bit, but that was my trip on Saturday, was everything in the vehicle was something that was going to go in a recycle container,
No charge for that. You're right.
No charge for that. So that's important. That's a wonderful public service. So that if you have old boxes or whatever. Now, I don't know. I don't think foam can go in there. I don't know about that. And if you leave electronics or air conditioners or refrigerators, there's a fee for that. But it's...
Well,
we'll wrap up our plan here.
Quick,
and final questions.
On page 5, slide 9, the moderate risk waste. We are going to continue our national leading efforts in collecting these hazardous waste materials, paints, toxics, and also we're doing our medication take back as a new recommendation, working with partners. Organic waste, we do have currently that material is being collected and shipped out of state, out of county. So we are looking at a feasibility study on that, what our capacity is to manage organic materials. Yes.
When it comes to medication recycle, I thought it was only like pharmacists would take that. Are there other options?
Partner with collection event days, and we work with the sheriff departments and the police departments so that we can take those controlled.
Okay, thanks.
We're on that topic. Currently, there are programs at Vancouver Police Department, at one of the precincts, to dispose of prescription medication or even over-the-counter controlled substances that you have to sign for. And the sheriff's office has that. Do we know where it is for the city of Vancouver? Which precinct?
That's a great suggestion. If you do go to that Recycling A to Z and type in medication, you will get...
Specify the location.
Quite an extensive network to manage.
Criteria. I mean, the criteria over the years has changed. When we first started, we called it the drug take-back. You kept everything in its original container, and then they broke it down at the site. Now I believe the recommendation is the pills just go emptied into a Ziploc bag and you just take the whole bag. Is that correct? Anybody know? But that's the kind of stuff we need to know, because when we develop a program, and that was through the sheriff's office, and then we widen that program to new drop-off sites, and then the criteria changes. That's the stuff that's really important, that we have the most current location and the most current packaging requirements, and how you dispose of it. Is it a mailbox drop down that you just put it in, or whatever? Do you have to sign or whatever? It'd be important to have current information on that.
Their website is extensive and contains virtually all the information that you just recited, how to package it.
West Precinct.
Pardon me? Oh, no, but this is their guidance on how to dispose, what to dispose, where to take it.
When you have that stuff en masse and you want to get rid of it, you can't go to a website and get specific details about what's closest to you and what are the hours and so on. It's going to end up in the garbage, and that's dangerous. Because the citizens give up. They'll give it a certain amount of time, and then they're just going to...
We spend an enormous amount of money keeping our websites up to date, because we have a lot of them in our department, probably more websites in our department than anywhere else in the county, because we do so many diverse things.
But
we keep them up to date. And this year we had some changes to the medication. We have a very successful medication take-back program, no question. We have a lot of partners with pharmacies. We have partners with the sheriff's office and the police departments. But pharmacies is really a key part. We almost lost those last year. And so, but we're back on board now, because the drug enforcement, it's a federal collaboration, and we all work together to fine-tune it. So whenever there's changes, we work on those, and then once we finalize them, we update the website immediately with those changes so people know where to take, because we understand exactly what you're saying, Commissioner. If people don't know, and if we make it hard or confusing for them to figure it out, they'll just put it in the trash, and that's not what we want. So we're going to try to make it as easy for them as possible.
So on recycling A to Z, if I went to that right now, would it tell me where the drug
take-back
programs are and what the hours are and what the packaging requirements are?
Yes. It lists the sheriff's office and police departments. It lists participating pharmacies, the free neighbors collection events, dates, times, locations.
So that's my point. It needs to be able to be readily available because that does keep drugs out of the garbage. And it
also
keeps
information about the adverse effect of putting it down your toilet because it ends up in our water.
Absolutely.
So
or you know, leaving it unattended somewhere where kids or whatever can get into it, animals. So
I'll send you a link to this.
I can find it.
It's very it's simple to find.
Is that under the county website, is that correct?
Yes.
Great.
Recycling A to Z.
And we are approaching our last slide here. Thank you for these great questions. Slide 10, enforcement. This is a continuing recommendation to update our ordinance. I believe it hasn't been updated since 78. So we're looking at one of the requirements there is you still can bury on-site solid waste from your house. So that's something we might want to tighten up, especially from a regulatory reason. And we do have a new chapter, which Director Don Benton mentioned, Chapter 18, our final chapter on economic development, and we are looking at trying to create jobs with the solid waste. We're currently working with some folks on latex paint, seeing if we can get a jump start on that one. We'll certainly keep you posted on those.
We're really excited about that. That's the biggest and newest addition is, you know, let's try to focus on turning waste into jobs in Clark County, and so we're excited about that chapter.
So the final big piece is we would like to submit this to Ecology as soon as you give us the okay, which hopefully will be today, and if not today, sometime soon. And they have a 120-day review process. They will probably send us some minor comments. Once we make those minor comments, the plan is complete. We bring that back for formal resolution, by resolution for adoption by the councilors in the cities.
So I want to go back to the Clark County Solid Waste Advisory Commission. This is on page 3, and it's the top slide. So SWAC reviewed each chapter along with staff. It's important to understand that the mix and the makeup of the Solid Waste Advisory Commission is a combination of citizens. There are some retired waste professionals. There are people that are familiar in the industry. There are several people that are retired business people, but also have strong interest in protecting the environment. So the last I saw the commission, I think that we continue to kind of follow the same typical pattern of having a good cross mix. So they didn't just review the chapters. They helped write and correct and add. And their expertise and their knowledge and their concern and their practical interest, I think, has been key in the development
Absolutely.
Of this. So that, I just wanted to make that point because that is definitely a working commission. I wanted to go back to a couple changes that are proposed. Sustainable choices. That is page 4, the top slide, the first item. I would be very interested in more detail about what specifically we're talking about with that. So Who makes the sustainable choice? Are we talking consumers or options for consumers to purchase, or what? I'm very interested in what kinds of details there might be on that. If that chapter is drafted, I'd be interested in seeing it. Education and outreach, new recommendations. Implement residential educational programs and activities to support proper curbside recycling and increase participation and recovery. You know, I want to say our first step there is to thank the citizens of Clark County and the city of Vancouver for being one of the most educated and committed groups of citizens across the whole state for their success in the recycling programs. That's where it happens. This is source separation. That's at the consumer level. And when I'm out there putting stuff in the various bins, I feel a responsibility to do that for the environment, but that's a huge head start for the whole recycling business and for protecting the environment in the much bigger picture. So what I'd want to be careful about is the tone that we take with that in the education, both on the city side and the county side, not to make people feel guilty because they haven't done enough, because honestly, for people to use their time, their effort, the things they could be using their time other ways on, to be sorting the garbage for the benefit of the environment, that's important. So enlisting in their continued support rather than getting into, well, you didn't sort this right. So I know that the solid waste team, both at the city and the county, has a long practice of being respectful to the people that are already doing a great job. I just want to make sure we stay on that track. So another area that I was interested in was the organic wastes. It is very important that if we establish a facility, that facility be in the right place, because organic wastes have been problems all over this country. If you want to talk about consumer or customer or citizen complaints, organic waste recycling, a facility that does that on a wholesale level, they get so far in this country enormous complaints. And as much as we work with it and try to keep the odor down, try to keep all the things associated, the runoff, as much as we try to do that, nobody has been significantly successful. So I don't want us to find ourselves in that position. And I know at one time we were talking about the West Side being potentially an organic churner, so to speak. And if we do that, we need to be mindful the prevailing wind is from the West. From the West. That means it goes up over the city and up over all those neighborhoods. So I want to be careful we don't set something up for failure, and I want to be sure that we're mindful that solutions to those problems in the industry have not been successfully implemented. So we can keep looking at organic waste, but we have to be realistic about the difficulties of it.
Excellent advice and direction. Thank you for that.
I'd just add one point. I know we're wrapping up here in time. You made some good points there. Being that the charter is in, we're in transition to implement changes when it comes to advisory boards, this also is an opportunity for us to be able to improve the makeup, the criteria, the specifications of the that would enrich the kind of expertise and experience that each of these boards ought to have, so that we can so take a look at the bylaws, take a look at the guidelines, so that when we advertise for new candidates out there, or when the interviewers are considering what the qualifications are, that that kind of insight to make sure there's a broad enough collection of expertise in each one of these boards that we take the time to do that. And Councillor Stewart, this is an opportunity for you to be able to offer some of the insights on that particular board because you have so much expertise there.
Very good.
Some of that is that the solid waste staff, both from the city and from the county, recognize the kinds of characteristics that bring big value. So by the time the applications get through that system.
May we submit the plan to Ecology?
Absolutely.
I want to thank the board for listening to our presentation today. I want to also thank our partners, the City of Vancouver and our other city partners, and especially the SWAC board, because as Commissioner Stewart pointed out, this is largely a product of many, many hours of work of the SWAC board. They really put a lot into this, and especially our staff. And I can't say enough about Pete Dubois, who's taken on this tough job. Mike Davis, who is responsible for our solid waste stuff, has been heavily involved in this. So credit to our staff, who's worked extremely hard, and credit to Rich and the city for extensive comments, which we appreciated very much. It helped us fine-tune and do an even better job. So thank you for that. Thank the city for their help.
Thank you,
Commissioners.
Thank you,
we'll
Department.
Be back.
Well done.
We'll be back with the ILA report and what Ecology has told us when we get it back.
I apologize for going over, but this is so important.
Good stuff.
Okay, so that's a wrap. Thank you.
Yeah, we got the double everything.